Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, October 9th, 2016. The Reverend Wendy Camori Steger is preaching a series for this Stewardship Month. The sermon today is, I Don't Like to Talk About Money. The gospel reading today is Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31.
Our scripture from today comes from the gospel according to Mark. Whoops, where'd it go? Mark chapter 10. Verse 17, going to verse 31. Jesus was setting out on a journey. A man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, all fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." May God add God's blessing to this word. Please join me in a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, come and dwell among us and in us and work through us. Be with us as we open your scripture, that we might hear your voice, that we might know what it is you long to speak to us this day. God, I pray with humility that you would use my words and my story, that it might go forth with your power. Use me even in my weakness to point to your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't like to talk about money. And it's stewardship season. And we even put it on the sign out front. And if I saw that, I'm the first one who might say, "Wow, let's not go visit that church on Sunday." Because I'm not sure I like hearing anyone talk about money either. I used to really enjoy being the associate pastor. I was in no rush to become the solo or the senior pastor of a congregation because I said, "Oh, there'll be years to come where I'll have to preach the stewardship sermon." But that's not now. Well, now that is now. And just on Friday, as I was attempting to finish up this message for today, I was at the Benicia Coffee and Tea Company. And another local Presbyterian pastor walks into the cafe, recognizes me, says hi, sits down. What you working on? Oh, my sermon. Oh, you preaching lectionary? No, it's stewardship. Oh, he says, I don't preach about it anymore. The money just comes in. Why are you preaching about it? Like, I don't know. Like, they asked me to, or I think I'm supposed to. And, you know, it's good for me, right? It makes me work out some of my own stuff. It's something I'm still working on. And he goes, oh, all you do is write the check. Then you'll see where your priorities lie. That's what I do. See ya. Okay, I felt like this small. He made it sound so easy. Like, okay, I've been the pastor, stewardship stuff. And I just felt like, what am I doing? Like, why did this CPC church hire me? Because I obviously don't know what I'm doing. And I got here and I heard how Pastor Ron taught and preached about tithing. And he could share so genuinely about his faithfulness in his financial resources. And I'm going, not so much my family background, right? My family of origin didn't talk about money. I never knew what my parents earned at their jobs. I probably still don't. I have no idea. I knew they gave to our United Methodist Church. I saw a check go in an envelope. I saw it go in the plate as it went by. I have no idea how much or how little went in. And I have no idea how they made that decision about how much or how little went in. I get the sense now that they're pretty consistent givers because every new pastor that comes to their church always makes sure they meet my parents. So they're pretty invested there. But what that looks like financially, I have no idea, and I would never ask them, right? So I'm feeling rather hypocritical trying to talk about money also because my household finances aren't in great order right now. Yay, we bought a house. That also means our savings account shrunk to like this because it all went into the down payment. And because we're still moving in, we're behind on, wait, what receipts went where and did that check get deposited? And, oh, our quarterly taxes are due and did I pay that? Did you pay that? Oh, that's a really big check. Uh-oh. And I'd rather be the ostrich. I'd rather just go and just pretend that the money's going to show up. But if I'm an ostrich, my loving husband is even more avoidant about this than I am. I have his permission to tell this story. But we, you know, he's a therapist. I'm a pastor. We talk. Right? We could talk about parenting, and we could talk about what a hard day we had, and we could talk about, hard to talk about money. So hard, we dragged ourselves into therapy earlier this year before we did the house buying process, because we're like, we can't even have this conversation. We'd start to have it, and we'd be like, honey, I have a headache, you know? or just like, not tonight. Right? It's been too long of a day. Let's not have this conversation tonight. Or the next night. Or the next night. Or the next night after that. Because we would get ourselves tied into this knot of confusion, and we'd start to feel like there's not going to be enough, and it's not going to work. And that was just to try to get our household budget in place, not talking about how we might be generous in giving to anybody else. Or the church. And so I'm being really honest, saying I can't believe I'm up here talking about this today. And so I don't consider myself or my household to be part of the joyful, generous givers that you hear about at church. I think I'm closer to the rich young man we heard about in this passage from Mark. He's doing a lot of things faithfully. He knows his Bible. He's listing off the Ten Commandments, and he follows them. And here he is seeking seeking Jesus. He ran up to Jesus. He wants to know who Jesus is. He's seeking God's wisdom in his life. I'm guessing his prayer life is fairly solid. But he comes up and he has this conversation that we read about this morning. And he says, good teacher, what do I do? What do I do? And Jesus says, you know what to do. Don't steal. Honor your father and mother. And he's like, I'm a good kid. I did those things. And Jesus says, you lack one thing. Go sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And when the man heard this, he stepped back. He's shocked. And then he walked away, grieving. For he had many possessions. The man has that sense of knowing his own unfaithfulness. He can't look Jesus in the eye because he knows he can't do that. It's a pretty uncomfortable place to be when you're feeling convicted or ashamed and you can't look someone in the eye. And I get it. I get why he would turn and walk away. He would walk out of the room. He would go back down the road. But had that rich young man stayed in the conversation a little bit longer, he might have heard some of that wisdom he was seeking. Because notice that Jesus wasn't done speaking. Jesus teaches and says how hard it is to let go of our money and our possessions. It's hard for that rich man. It's hard for the disciples who have been Jesus' closest allies and following Jesus around the Galilean countryside. Even the people who are trying the hardest to listen, to build a relationship with Jesus, can't comprehend all of what he's teaching, let alone live it. But had that rich man stayed in the conversation, he would have heard Jesus trying to help him grow. He would have heard him say, yes, for people, this amount of letting go is impossible. But for God, it is not. God is the one who can gently pry our fingers off the money or anything we hold so tightly to. And God is always there to be in God's side of the conversation. We can even do that now by staying in Scripture, by not just shutting the Bible when you get to the part that you don't like, or by not distracting oneself when you get to the uncomfortable place. I think that's where God is growing me these days. For because I didn't want to be a leader of stewardship, at the last church, God just threw me in sideways anyway. There was a capital campaign that the previous pastor was supposed to lead, but he ran into a health situation and retired a year earlier than he had planned. And so I got left as sort of the most senior pastor around, and consultants were hired who came in and said, we're going to try to raise some crazy number to pay off the debt on a building. And great, Wendy, we need you to be the one to talk with the major givers. I'm sorry, what? Well, you have the most, you're the spiritual leader, you have the most trust. The interim doesn't know anybody. The interim doesn't know these people's names. And I was like, okay. But the consultant who started with, you know, the leadership much earlier than everybody else said, okay, here's the prayer. The prayer is, God, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for my church? And I went, phew. Okay, that word, that prayer has no mention of money, has no mention of tithe, has no mention of even the word stewardship. And prayer is an area of faith that I feel a lot more confident about. I feel like I know a little bit more about talking and listening to God. The stewardship thing, not so much. So I said, okay, I can pray. God, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for my church. And I prayed, and part of prayer is the talking. The other part is the listening. And I listened for God's response. And God's response, our ever-loving God's response, was to love me for the mess that I am. Thank God. God was asking me to preach and talk about money, even if I wasn't a great example. And God started to show me what I could do and helped me to move away from all the things I couldn't do. I could be honest with myself, with my husband, and yes, even with the congregation, about my fear and shame and insecurities about being faithful with money. I could let God start to teach me in an area of my life that had been kind of walled off. God can touch this area and this area and this area, but not this area. It's like, okay, maybe I need to pay attention to that. I could be a bit braver about talking with my husband about our family budget and family priorities. And I could challenge myself and us to grow just a little bit out of our comfort zone with financial giving. And by staying in the conversation, I'll admit I have not been dramatically transformed into some happy, generous giver. I'm still not up to a tithe. I'm still not joyful and confident in what I'm doing. But what I am doing is taking these tiny baby steps of faith. So not out of my strength, but out of God's strength. I'm doing what I can do to prioritize. I'm doing what I can do to be sacrificial, to be honest with my resources, and to not focus so much on what I can't do. And what is starting to be different is that I don't feel quite as awkward talking about money as I used to, and I have a bit more peace. At least I know I'm being more honest. And I know myself better, and I know God better. My relationship with God is stronger for letting God into an area of my life that I had wanted to hold closed off. So it's stewardship season, and I am not going to stand here and say, you all need to tithe, because that would be blatantly hypocritical of me. And I'm also not saying it's stewardship servant, so you need to give money so that I get a big fat salary. And I'm not saying that you should give the same amount that I'm giving financially. If you want to follow an example for giving, we've got a few testimonies of willing members who are generous and faithful. Listen to them. They'll give a stronger stewardship sermon than I'm able to. What I am encouraging you to do, as I continue to encourage myself to do, especially for those of you who, like me, have these fears around money or are ashamed to look Jesus in the eye when it comes to your possessions, is to make the time this month to have your own conversation with God. Perhaps you are as uncomfortable as I and my spouse are. It's okay to be uncomfortable with this. It's not okay to walk away from it. So stay in it. Take it to God in prayer and take the time to listen. And so I invite us to do this morning. I'm going to invite us into some time of silence. I invite you to pray this prayer and then to stop and hear what it is that God might be saying to you in response to your prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for loving us and for speaking to us. Help us to hear your will for our lives and your will for this church, and to have the courage to act. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.